who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Tuesday morning, July 12th, 2022. It is the Beating the Book podcast. Gil Alexander, thank you so much for listening today to the Q2 MLB Derivatives podcast. This is one of these podcasts we do Q1, Q2 through Q1, Q2, Q3, I should say, derivatives MLB betting podcast. We've done them for years, my guest and I, for a decade we've done these, but then the last couple years we shifted it over from the podcast side of Beating the Book and just did it on a numbers game on the radio side. We're back on the podcast format now with a Q2. You know who I'm talking about, Mark Borchardt, Base Winner. How you doing, Mark?
Yo, this is so exciting for me. It brings back a memory of being the first guest on your show.
Yes.
And so I really am proud of that because you've gotten so good and so big in the industry. And I can always say, well, I was the first guest on Gil's show. But it's so cool because I remember that show. And like I was on my cell phone and the audio, it was popping. And you know, the phone was cutting in and out. So I think we'll have better audio this time.
That was probably 2011, Mark. If I'm 2010 or 2011. Like legitimately before most human beings on earth had a podcast, and now everybody of course has one.
Yeah, it's so true. I wonder like how much time do people have to listen to all these podcasts?
We met in a forum, we won't say which. We met in a forum and we were not allowed to interact in a solicitation kind of way. So I guess I liked you so much, or you resonated with me and your baseball knowledge so much that I had the audacity to ask for your phone number off so we could talk off air, and it was quickly reprimanded.
We got scolded.
Yes, that's right. And here we are, more than a decade later. So here's how this works.
Well, it's been great. It's been great being on. Personally, I just wanted to take this opportunity to say how excited I am to do your show every day. I love being a guest on your show, and I love doing the podcast. So this is exciting for me, Gil.
Dude, I love having you, man. You have been a staple throughout. I'm trying to think what other things. Oh, others have blamed me for you trying to hire other people at your business because they know we're associated. When, of course, I have nothing to do with any of that. It's just so funny, man. Okay.
Oh, that's a great story.
It's a great story. Oh, isn't it, though? Okay, so for those who forgot, this is how we do this. This is essentially, this whole exercise is an attempt to see what in the first half, since we're at Q2, and I get it, we're a little past the halfway mark, all the better. What has happened betting-wise in the first half of the season that is predictive for us, perhaps, when betting moving forward? A lot of what we're going to talk about ultimately isn't predictive. It's going to be just a narrative like, oh, look, this has happened, but there's no rhyme or reason to it, and it's unlikely to sustain. But there is going to be some insights of things that we believe will be predictive, and it's up to you, also the listener, to determine what is predictive and what is narrative. And it's very simple. We're just going to go through the best money line teams. Again, bizarro exercise if you're betting them to win a unit as a favorite, if you're risking a unit as a dog, home road splits on those, run lines. Then we'll do starting pitchers. We'll do umpires. We'll do first five innings, and we'll do first innings, which is super proprietary. That's the gig. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's do it. Let's start with the most widely available. These are the money line numbers. You can get them at sites like covers.com. Very simple to look these up. The number one, now Mark and I did a radio version of this last week, and so the answers to these questions have somewhat shifted. The number one money line team in baseball this year, Mark, if you're betting them, again, bizarro exercise, to win a unit as a favorite, to risk a unit as a dog, let's say you just bet them every single game. I get it. It's not reality. But if you did, who has been the most profitable team in baseball to this moment, sir?
Well, the numbers I'm looking at are the Yankees, but you might be looking at different numbers. So it depends on how you bet them.
I've got the Baltimore Orioles at number one, up 14.1 units on the season. 43-44 now, the Orioles. I got them at 14.1 units. I have the Yankees
second.
Yeah,
and then, so that's the difference between risk and I think what they do is to risk a flat amount to win. And then I'm looking at StatFox, and StatFox says, well, you got the Yankees, you got to risk whatever. Today, minus 300, so three units to win one. So just because of that, it's an interesting aside. Covers does it risk one to win whatever.
Correct.
And this other side, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So covers would do in that case risk one unit to win 0.33 units, right?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Right.
Sure. So
got it.
Yeah. And so it shakes out. And I think it's, in my opinion, it's not that big of a deal either way, but the way I do it when I send out my plays and stuff is to risk, because this is a really good point, I think, because I think it gives you a better return on those underdog plays, and that bears out. And when we're looking at these standings, it sure is true. And I think that that's part of something that I'd like to try to get a decent return on underdogs. And it's hard. Sometimes it's so hard to play these underdogs, Gil.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Well, you and I were talking earlier, you were on the show today on a numbers game. We were talking at VSiN, we're doing this MLB betting pentathlon, right? Five picks in a 4-day span. To determine who's the greatest baseball bettor who's ever walked the face of the earth, as I like to say. And, yeah, we were just sort of talking about how today's slate, for instance, boy, it's tough to play any of these dogs today. It is so difficult, especially the big ones. But getting back to the point on these, so you and I have always done it through the years, risking to win a unit as a favorite, risking above a unit to win a unit, risking a unit to win more than a unit as a dog. But it's... The point being with the teams, Baltimore, New York, whatever order you have them in, just think about, again, for baseball bettors, again, just a sort of, brief reminder to those who might be new, the Yankees, for them to be a top two winner to this point for Major League Baseball bettors, think about how amazing that is. The two teams have gotten there completely different ways, right? Baltimore has been a dog so many times or a slight favorite. And it makes sense with their overperforming 43-44 in your standings, how they would be either the most profitable or second most profitable team in baseball. But the Yankees have overcome that juice, Mark, time and time again to get there, which
is
just incredible, right?
It's amazing. And we still do.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't find a reason today to not bet on the Yankees.
Me too.
I want to hear the guy who wants to put money on the Reds. I want to hear that handicap. And I'm not trying to be smart about it. I'd like to hear the other side.
Yeah, I didn't bet the Yankees, to be clear, but I couldn't think of a reason why to bet on Ashcraft and the Reds. And by the way, the Yankees, and this was pointed out by Will Hill, who works at VSiN, who also does the New York City cast. He has to cover local New York teams, and he was talking about the Yankees. And what's even more incredible, I think, is a great point, is they have so many holes, too, that could be improved. Not pitching necessarily, but Kiner Falefa, they roll him out every day. Donaldson's been good defensively. He hasn't been good offensively. Joey Gallo probably shouldn't even be in a lineup. And yet, right, like, there's places you could still improve that team, I think. So...
Oh, absolutely. Gallo and Falefa are two really good examples. So those are good points, Gil.
Yeah. Mets, by the way, third most profitable money line team. Houston, fourth. You might have those in different orders as well. But those are the four teams by far on top of the Major League Baseball money line standings. Again, bizarro exercise. You're betting them every day, whether as a favorite or a dog. The biggest hemorrhaging team, same exercise, would be?
I've got the Angels, Gil.
Oh, you do? Okay, so I have it. So again, it's really tight between the A's, the Angels, and the Nationals. Those are the worst three by far, correct?
Yeah, those are the worst three by far.
Yeah.
The one thing that's interesting of this group, Gil, is the Nationals. I think that their offense is pretty good. You know, if you look at their plate discipline stats, they're fourth in baseball on BB divided by K, which is an important stat offensively to me. The pitching's not so good, but maybe it's a team to look at playing team totals over. One of the things I looked at these stats the other day, and everybody but one player is down on their ISO power off of the Nationals offense. And so I think that's something that's going to regress to the good, Gil.
Okay. So I guess at the bottom, I guess the noteworthy team, right? The Nationals stink in the standings, 30-58, as do the Athletics, 29-59. But I mean, is there a more disappointing team? Obviously, the betting market and what we're talking about reflects that. Than the Angels. I mean, horrific, right? I have them down almost 18 units on the season, 38-49, arguably with the two best players in baseball in Trout and Ohtani, and they still can't get it together.
Isn't that amazing, Gil? And I was one of the guys who was somewhat bullish on the Angels. I kind of liked them outside chance of winning that AL West. But if you would have told me that you would have gotten Ohtani with an ERA of 2.44, a base winner ERA of 2.44, I would have been like, man, that team's going to be right in the thick of things. And they sure yeah, aren't, Gil.
They sure know? Are not. By the way, that's another team tonight, right? Again, we're doing this on a Tuesday, so forgive. This part won't like sort of stand the test of time. But they're a home dog with Syndergaard on the hill today, and not a very big one against the Astros, I believe it is. I can't get to playing the Angels, Bryce. I just can't get there.
Yeah, well, the only thing is Alvarez is out of the lineup.
Right.
So that makes a big difference.
That makes
a big
difference.
But, gosh, Syndergaard, and I will admit, because I went on your show and I said, well, watch out for Syndergaard. He could be an outside chance to win the Cy Young. And he's been terrible. He has not been the Noah Syndergaard of old, that's for sure. But some of his numbers are okay. He's kind of survived. But I can't bet him. Can't even bet him with Alvarez out of the lineup, Gil.
By the way, for the podcast audience, Mark is being super humble because he called Robbie Ray at 100-1 to win the Cy Young last year in July. He had the Yankees way over their season win total this year at 91, just some of his recent calls. So when he's self-deprecating, know that there is genius behind it as well. By the way, I'll just give you the home road splits, the best home roads. And I'm just curious, I'll just ask the simple question, what of this do you think is meaningful? What is sustainable? What is just random? Baltimore, most of their money win is at home. Close to 12 units of their wins have been at home at Camden Yards. Yankees, most of theirs at home. Those are the two best home money line teams in baseball. Baltimore and the Yankees, also the two best overall. They're the two best at home. The two worst at home, the Oakland A's, followed by the Washington Nationals. You know, the White Sox would be a distant third at home. That was the one we seized upon last time. The White Sox are super bad at home for bettors, and they're actually up about 5 units on the road. And we were talking about this, and I'll just sort of get you to repeat that. You think that's completely random, right, about the White Sox home road splits?
Yes, Gil. I think that's a random stat. If somebody can give me an explanation for that disparity, please tell me, because I'd be dying to find out. And again, I'm not trying to be smart. I just can't find an explanation other than just pure variance on that, Gil.
I would agree. And then away, in case anyone's interested, the Padres are actually the most profitable team on the road, about 8.5 units. If you bet them every single time, favorite or dog on the road. Houston, I have as number 2, and I have the Mets as number 3. And then in terms of that's just road records. And again, with San Diego, Houston, and the Mets, part of the explanation is they're just good at baseball, generally speaking. And then the worst teams on the road, the Angels are by far the worst on the road. So at least half of their loss comes on the road when you bet the Angels. It's pretty evenly split, actually, home and road. The Angels just stink both places. And then after that, it's, you know, the poo-poo platter of the Reds and the Rockies on the road. The Rockies, of course, I think we should seize on that. The Rockies, who are, you know, down 2.5 units roughly on the season in the money line exercise, up close to 4 units at home, down a little more than 6 units on the road. That is very Rockies-esque, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you look at the Rockies, this has been a consistent thing that's happened over the years since 2019. So this is 2019, 2020, 2021, and this year they're 83-149 straight up on the road. So, you know, that's pretty amazing, and I think that there's something to it. I just don't think that the hitters can adjust from the altitude. I think it takes them a while to adjust, and it's amazing. But every year you see that, and then I'm guilty of it. I don't seize the opportunity to bet against them on the road enough, in my opinion.
That's such a great point. For those of us who've been doing that for years, Mark, it's such a great point what you just said, which is we can describe these things in a macro way, right? Like, we know this Rockies thing to be a truism, tried and true year after year. But in our daily assessment of value on individual game lines, it just never gets there for us. So then we view it in the rear view and we're like, oh, we missed this massive opportunity again. What's wrong with us? But sometimes it's just not that clear on a daily basis. Yet, incrementally over time, it manifests. By the way, just in case, and I'll ask you again, is there anything to this? The biggest discrepancy on the money line, and then we'll go to run line, the biggest discrepancy on the money line, home road splits, the Oakland Athletics, we just talked about, were one of the three worst teams, period, in baseball betting on the money line. Makes sense. They suck. They're 29-59. But 18.5 of their units lost are at home, and they're actually up a half unit on the road. Do you make anything of that?
No, it's hard to do to make anything of that. The only thing that I can think of on that is the park is such a cavern there. So maybe they don't have, you know, maybe they don't have the real power bats to be successful in that big cavern park. But then when they go into more of a neutral park, they can get some home runs. Their offense can get some more home runs. It's an interesting question. It'd be an interesting sort to see how really powerful teams do when they go to Oakland. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something there from a handicapping standpoint where if these guys have, you know, they're hitting the ball not 360 with a home run, they're hitting the ball 420 with a home run, how they perform in that. That ballpark's awful, Gil.
Horrible.
I can hardly wait till to see it go. You know?
And it's, by the way, the game experience, it's like on the road to the airport. It's just awful, just horrible. By the way, there was a feral cat infestation during the pandemic. Did you hear about this?
So there's no, I didn't hear about that one.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't make this up. Like, during the pandemic, the stadium, obviously empty, was overrun with feral cats. And because it's the Bay Area, this is like the most Bay Area story ever, they're like looking for people to adopt the cats. They won't do anything bad to the cats. It's phenomenal. I love it. Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. All right.
Maybe they're going to Vegas, Gil. Maybe they're going to come to your city.
Maybe. Maybe indeed. All right, run line, de facto power sort of ranking. Who are the best teams on the run line? Remember, as a favorite, they're giving a run and a half. As a dog, they're getting a run and a half. The Baltimore Orioles, up 18 units-ish on the run line. They're number one. The Dodgers and Mets right after that. By the way, interestingly, the Texas Rangers, another strange team that ends up in the top five in terms of run line. So, again, check your one-run records. That might have a lot to do with all of that. And then at the bottom, some of the usual suspects. Washington is down 20 units on the run line. Basically, when they get beat bad. Kansas City, down 15 units. Milwaukee's actually in there on the run line. They're in the top three in terms of the worst on the run line. Toronto, Oakland, Cincinnati rounding out the top six. Those are by far the six worst on the run line. What of that is interesting to you? And mainly with Baltimore, what I want to ask you is, would you bet them 25-1 to make the postseason right now? They're only 2 games out of a wild card.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't bet them. I have them at 73.2 wins, which puts them 13 wins off of Tampa Bay, which I have Tampa Bay getting that. Interestingly enough, that's the third wild card. All the wild cards, according to my model, are going to come from the AL East. I call it the AL Beast. It's quite the division. Mm-hmm. And the closest team that's going to challenge the Rays would be, by my projections, the Seattle Mariners. I have them at 85.6 wins. So I don't think, I mean, Baltimore's a feel-good story. They're doing a lot of good things there, but they've got to play in that division, and that division's really tough. Yankees, Blue Jays, Red Sox, Rays, they're all really good teams. Good pitching, good hitting, and I just think that's kind of the downfall. I think if you put Baltimore in the Central Division, they maybe you got to play there, but just the fact that they got to go mano-a-mano against good teams in their division, that's a tough thing, you know?
It's a good point. By the way, anything to Milwaukee and Toronto being so bad on the run line, or is that just kind of random?
I think it's random. I really like this Brewers team when they get back to full health, or Woodruff, Peralta, and Burns. I think that the key is can they stay healthy? Can the back end of that bullpen stay healthy? But I think if they do, I think they'll be okay, Gil.
Okay, let's go to this is real quick starting pitcher money. I don't think there's a whole bunch to this in many cases, but we like to just go through it. It's starting pitchers when they have taken the hill and you have bet on the team behind them. Who have been the most profitable starting pitchers in all of baseball this year? Martin Perez, Mark, is...
Oh, God.
Our old friend Martin Perez. The Rangers are 13-4 final scores, right? Final outcomes in games that he started. So part of that's going to be Perez. Part of it inevitably has nothing to do with Perez. But the Rangers are 13-4. You'd be up over 9.5 units betting Rangers games blindly when Perez takes the hill. Gilbert for the Mariners is second. Joe Musgrove for the Padres is third. And then tonight's starter for the Reds, Ashcraft, somehow is in the top five. So you never know with these things. Anyway,
yeah, they're that Perez is a feel good story, and I've been critical in the past of Martin Perez, but I can say that I have him better than average right now. He's just a little bit better than average, 5% better than average, but he's better than average. So, although he made the All-Star team, and that's to me the way they select the All-Star teams, kind of not perfect, I guess. But he deserves the All-Star team more than Paul Blackburn deserves the All-Star team.
I agree. Yeah. No, it's very good. But again, with a lot of these, you're like, some of it means, I don't know, there's a bunch to read into here. Like Tony Gonsolin, for instance, who has an impeccable record with the Dodgers, a perfect record, his personal win-loss. Dodgers are 13-3 ultimately when he's on the hill. You'd only be up 4.2 units, so he's 11th most profitable. By the way, at the bottom, just in case anyone's curious, if you go down to like the worst of these, the 186th and dead last pitcher in terms of when he has started for his team, who's hemorrhaged the most money? It's a toss-up between Frankie Montas of the A's and Patrick Corbin of the Nationals, both of whom have lost you over 10 units this year backing their respective teams, Oakland and Washington, 3-14 in Montas and Corbin's respective starts. Now, with Corbin, that's pretty much expected.
Yeah, I don't know. I have Patrick Corbin about average.
Oh,
in the
that's
model,
right. You
so
have him better. That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing that's interesting about Montas is Montas is a good pitcher.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe these people have bet that were electing people to the All-Star game bet on Montas, and they're so pissed that they put Blackburn in instead of Montas.
Well,
but Montas, I think he should get in as an A before Blackburn, right?
Look, I would generally, I don't know about this year, but yeah, I mean, look, a lot of these, when we go through these pitchers, much like with the teams we're just talking about, the bottom of these pitcher stats typically, although not this year really, will always feature some, starter that's like minus 200 every night out that just has a bad first quarter or half of the season. Like Kershaw has been at the bottom of this list before, as I recall. Now it's Montas, Corbin, Dunning, Green, I guess Snell, where the Padres were 1-8, when he was starting. So anyway, that's just whatever that is. Let's go to the umps.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because this is something you have historical stats on, so this is really good for bettors. Particularly when you're betting totals, there are certain umpires who, tried and true through the years, will show a propensity for having a really small strike zone, which could lead to big totals, or a very wide one, which could lead logically, to very low ones. Now, I'll give you what the numbers are this year, and you'll tell us which of these, from an over and under standpoint, Mark, is sort of jibes with your history. And we'll do it with a minimum number of games of 5 behind home plate. But the most reliable over umpires in baseball thus far this year, Nick Marley, 5 out of 5 behind home plate, over games. Hunter Wendelstedt, 6 of 7 have gone over when he's called balls and strikes. Brian Knight, not Brian McKnight, Mark. Brian Knight, 5 of 6.
Well, good thing it wasn't Brian McKnight, because we'd have to start back at 1 if it was.
Hey-o! You know, I've always questioned the math of that song, or the puzzle of that song. Let me just go through it real quick since you bring it up, Mark. I don't know if I brought it up or you brought it up, but...
I did.
One... what is it? One...
You're like a dream come true.
You're like a dream come true. 2, I want to be with you. 3, girl, it's plain to see that you're the only one for me. 4, repeat steps 1, 2, 3... 5, make you fall in love with me. You never get to the 5 if you repeat 3, Mark.
That's true. You know, I never thought about it that deeply, but I guess with your background, sometimes maybe you have to.
You know,
so here's this guy, really into hip-hop and analytical mind. Only that would come from you, Gil.
Thank you. I'm going to send a strongly worded email to Brian McKnight. Anyway, the umpire, Brian Knight, 5 of 6 behind home plate, over. Todd Tischner, 5 of 6 behind home plate, over. And then you have Chris Guccione, 7 of 9 over. Jeremy Rehak, 6 of 8 over, along with Alfonso Marquez and Chris Siegel. Anyway, we could go on and on. There's some 5 of 7s like Doug Eddings who have come up in the past. Any Daniel Bellino, 7 of 10, Edwin Moscoso, 7 of 10 have gone over. Any sort of historical jibing corroborations with what's going on this year?
Yeah, this one's really good because Alfonso Marquez is the number one over umpire based on my chart. And
wow.
he's got a runs suppression or a runs allowed number, 9%, 9.3% greater than an average umpire. So he's a 109.3. And that's fairly significant. If you add 10% runs to a 9 total, you're going with 10. So if you have the game priced at 9 and Marquez is in there, you can effectively price. That one's very significant, and I've always looked for him, and it's in the model that I have these umpires. But that's one that really bears out. He's over, and he's over in the chart, Gil.
Yeah, so over historically, and then 6 of 8, as we mentioned this year, behind home plate have gone over. And it is so important. By the way, for those wondering, like, where can you find umpire assignments? Sites like StatFox list which umpires are behind home plate every day. Obviously, the crew rotates on a day-to-day basis, but you can find out who's behind home plate. And I've just taken a game that I bet on yesterday. I bet on the under in the Diamondbacks-Giants game. It was under 8. It ended up 4-3 Diamondbacks. Typical game, Mark, where it's like I had no business losing, then I had no business winning, then somehow I won. You know, it's just like, you're like, baseball happened to that bet. But the point was is that, and I can't remember who was behind home plate last night in that game, that strike zone was a thimble. It was a thimble. But the one thing I give him credit for was he was super consistent with it. He never strayed from it. So he wasn't giving any of the pitchers any borderline calls. And so the fact that we were still able to hit the under with that was a minor miracle yesterday in that game.
Yeah, and Gil, I think you make a really good point. In that you didn't know who the umpire was before the game. And unfortunately, like when we're handicapping, you know, I think you do it really early in the morning. I do it overnight, but that first game in the series, you're kind of going in there blind. So you were required to make a total in that game and you played an under. It was a good play actually. And, for me, that first game of the series is really hard to play the totals on because I don't know who the umpire is, at least overnight. And that's such a critical factor or component in the game projection. So I've got to really like a total before I play a total in the first game of a series. Gil.
Yeah. Yeah. It was compulsory to do so in the pentathlon that we were doing. So luckily got that one home. How about the unders? Let's go to under umps before we get off umpires. Again, these are from this year. Mark will tell us if any of these match historically. Quinn Walcott, 4 of 4 behind home plate this year. I've gone to the under. Again, we haven't broken this down based on ballpark, which is a missing element of this, but Brian Blakeney, 4 of 4 under. Andy Fletcher, 8 of 9 under. Will Little, 7 of 8 under. Ed Hickox, oh, that name's come up before, 6 of 7 under. Uh-oh, wait, I'm getting another Brian Knight reading. Is this a glitch in this? Uh-oh. Well, throw out what we said about Brian Knight, because I don't know which is right. Anyway, those are the big ones. Nate Tomlinson, 6 of 8. Nestor Seha, 6 of 8. And Junior Valentine, 9 of 12 have gone under. Lazaro Diaz, 6 of 8 under. Phil Cousy, 6 of 8 under. Angel Hernandez, 9 of 12 under.
Yeah, there's a lot of variance, and that's what we're learning when we're going through these umpires as far as, over-under, because it's not just all about how the umpire calls out the zone. That's part of the handicap, though. But as far as I'll just, tell you who my top three under umpires are. I've got Estabrook, Miller, and Doug Eddings. Those are the three umpires that I think are, if they come up on the game and I like the under, I'm going to jump on that under.
Doug Eddings, 5 of 7 under. We didn't get to him. He's there.
There you go. Yeah. He's number two. He's number two on the chart, Gil.
So
from an under standpoint.
So Doug Eddings to the under. And who do we say to the over? Alfonso Marquez?
The Fonz. Yeah, Alfonso Marquez. Yep.
Okay. All right. So those are all widely available. Let's go to some that are, they get a little tougher to find, and then we'll get to the super proprietary one. Let's talk about first five innings. A lot of people like to bet first fives, obviously, these days. And I used to keep track of these manually on my own. That was a pain in the butt. I don't have any time to do that. Thankfully, sites like OddsShark do. So they update these, I think, once a week. These are the best Moneyline records first five. So exactly what we did with the Moneyline full game moments ago. This is just in terms of the first five, and I've updated these over the last 5 days manually based on how these clubs have done since these were last updated. But for the best first five Moneyline teams in baseball, the New York Metropolitans, number one, you'd be up over 13 units betting the Mets blindly on the first five this year, and that's without Jacob DeGrom. Imagine. They're number one. Number two would be the Houston Astros. Houston Astros would have you up about 12 units betting first five blindly this year. By the way, these teams have continued to be good since the last Odd Shark. I'm updating the numbers since then. But the Mets 3-1-1 first five their last five games. The Astros 3-1 their last four. A new third place team is the Yankees. The Yankees have taken over from the Twins, who were the number three team. Now it's the Yankees number three because the Yankees have gone 2-0-2 over their last four. But the Yankees would have you up about 8-plus units first five. So Mets, Astros, Yankees, nothing surprising there, right?
Yeah, no, that sounds pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah, I guess before the season we might have thought the Yankees was a little surprising maybe, but now we're so used to it. I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't have. I was bullish on the Yankees.
Not you, right. No, everybody, no, certainly not you, who again, it was 91, or what was the Yankees number? And you had
it was 91, and I think it was a 98. And
yeah.
People were like,
Mark projected 98. I gasped audibly. Hey, 98. How cute now. Okay. Worst first five. We have a new worst first five. The Colorado Rockies, who have gone 0-4-1. Remember, there can be pushes. 0-4-1 in their last five. They are the new worst first five team in baseball. Nearly costing you 20 units, a little over 19 units down if you've been betting the Rockies first five all year. And by the way, if you've been betting the Rockies first five blindly in every single game, you're probably doing something wrong. Tigers.
Yeah, I want to find that guy.
Yeah, I really want to bet the Rockies first five, especially at home. or maybe I should say, especially on the road when their bats
on the road, yeah.
The Tigers used to be the worst first five. They're now the second worst first five because they've gone 2-3 in their last first fives. Tigers are the second worst. Nats are the third worst because the Nats have lost four in a row now, their last four on the first five. And the Reds are the fourth worst. So, yeah, not surprising. Any of the first fives are not surprising at all. Now,
yeah, you know, the, The Reds are somewhat interesting because
yes, that's
true. Hunter Green, Lodolo, even Ashcraft to a certain extent. I mean, these you don't have just – and Castillo, of course, he was brilliant. I played the Rays the other day on Friday, and, man, he pitched up against McClanahan, and I thought Castillo was the better pitcher in that game. So you would think that Reds, like, they'd win more five-inning bets. They've got their starting pitching is not awful, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I agree. But do you get the sense of, well, we just went through first five, and earlier we did full game, and full game, there's obviously many more surprises. Bullpens are involved. Do you find yourself betting? Like, this has always been the thing the last 4 years. Like, when you talk to baseball bettors, right, a lot of people very casually answer, like, oh, that's why I only bet first five, because, you know, it takes the bullpens out of it. I don't know, man. For me, by the way, the straddle's bigger. We should point that out.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, we should point that out. And also, just for me, just anecdotally, I don't bet baseball nearly as much as I used to, but it never really worked out that way for me, despite all the bullpen, mishugas. Does it, for you, do you find yourself betting first five more or just not as much or just the same amount as you always used to, which is not a lot?
I do it infrequently, which is more than I used to. I used to never do it. Mm-hmm. I think that, like, for me, I think part of the bullpen handicapping is interesting to me, and I love doing it. It's a lot of work, but I think that if you can handicap the game from the back to the front, and I think that for next year, I am getting good enough with bringing in data and Python programming that I think I can do this, is just have a separate four innings, and that's the last part of the game. I know Todd does a lot of that, and it's an interesting listen when Wishnev gets on your show and talks about, you know, how he plays the second half of the game. But I think that you have to split it up into half, so the first five and the last four. But I think that you made such a good point. It might be the most important thing on why not to bet the first five inning lines until the juice starts to come down. I don't think it's as good of a bet as a full game just because of that fact. I mean, over the course of, if you're going to put out, you know, 600-700 games over the course of a season, that adds up, that juice. So I think that just for that main reason, it's probably good if you can handicap the back part of the game to play the full game.
Yeah. Listen, I get it.
And then the other thing too, and I think this is a good point, and I'm sorry to jump in, but
no,
I'll be quick.
Please.
You know, when you're doing overnight, when you're sending out plays overnight, and I try to send them out like 5 p.m. Pacific time, you don't have five inning lines. So by the
time
it gets to having a five inning line, like, you look at a game like the Rays, and I put that out, I lost the game, but I put it out at -138, right? So by the time the morning came, it was up to -178. And so, like, I wouldn't get that, like, the five inning line's a derivative of that full game at that point in time, which is early in the morning. So I wouldn't get that kind of line value overnight on that. So I think that's the juice, and then the fact that you can't bet the five inning games early, at least not yet. I think that those are two points to, unless you have a conviction on a starting pitcher and you hate the bullpen. And sometimes I'll do that. Like, I played Nola a couple times this year because the Philadelphia bullpen was such a mess. And I think I steer away from it personally, Gil.
No, all great points. It ain't as, you know, it ain't as, let's put it this way. It shouldn't be as quick of an answer as some people make it. Oh, I just get rid of the bullpens and I play five. It's not quite that simple. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's pros and cons to both ways. Yeah.
Absolutely. And listen, you know, I also have to just throw this in. Just from a life perspective, because I don't think we ever talk about this, because you're super into numbers, I'm super into it. You're immersed in it on a daily basis, as you always have been. We never just take a step back and talk about just human being experiences, betting, some of these things, and baseball particularly. Like, with all the summers where I just spent betting baseball games, and I just think about, like, the game I bet last night, Mark, the Diamondbacks and the Giants total. That game is a National League game, lasted 4 hours, right? And the biggest part of that, of course, was the bullpen, right? And how many changes are made and how long that takes and how long the at-bats were. And I just thought to myself afterwards, you know, I said this on the air this morning. My dad used to say this about crossword puzzles and Sudokus, right? He used to say, it was like, crossword puzzles, you learn English, right? When you do them, you learn vocabulary. Sudoku, he's like, it's a waste of time. You don't really learn math. right? So I, for some reason, I thought about that last night when I was watching the baseball game. It's funny how your dad like enters your brain with random comments, because I was like, okay, I had no business losing, then I had no business winning, and then somehow I won. And in the end, even though I won, I was like, where did those 4 hours go? Do I get those back? So from a real life perspective, there are some people listening that will actually just be in their heads. They'll just be like, you know what, dude? I just don't want to live through nine innings. I just don't want to, I don't want that experience. I just want to get out of there. Yeah.
That's a really good point. And I wouldn't disagree with them.
Yeah, because I wouldn't either.
You know, they get the action, and it's, you know, arguable whether the full game is better or not, but if there's validity in that five inning game, but they definitely get part of their life back. And it's weird because, you know, we've been doing this a long time.
Oh yeah.
We're analytical. We're around a lot of analytical guys, and they always say, well, you shouldn't watch the games because it takes it all out of you. And it sure does.
It does.
But you can't not watch the game. I can at least.
More
power to the guys that can,
right.
You know, yeah.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills, We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not how I'm wired. It's not how you're wired. I always bring up Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob works it as a sort of sign of, you know, he wears it as a sign of a badge of honor, I should say, that he doesn't watch. Now, I think he watches more than he lets on. But I tell him all the time, I go, Bob, I'm just not wired that way. Like, I can't do a bet and just walk away. Like, it doesn't work for me that way. So, yes, like last night, if you had, you know, after the game, the first five would have barely hit on the under and the full game barely hit on the under. Would I have rather have spent, you know, done it the first five? Of course. It's just a waste of time. So I get that from some people, and that's the nature of baseball betting. By the way, other side, boy, are some defense really bad in baseball now. Like the Giants' defense is horrible. And there's like no arms in the outfield. It's horrible to watch. Okay.
You had some bad defense yesterday. That's really frustrating to watch.
For sure.
That's for sure.
All right, let's go to the final one. This is first innings. This is proprietary. You'll only hear this on the Beating the Book podcast or perhaps on a numbers game. People like Mark have databases where they can call it up as well. So this is just first innings. A lot of people like to bet yes, no's. Will a run be scored on the first inning? There's all kinds of different first inning bets you can make. This is just a window into which starting pitchers have performed the best and the worst, or let's say the worst and the best, first innings this year, just the first frame in terms of opponent on base percentage. I just happen to use on base percentage, prefer that over, say, batting average. So, minimum 40 plate appearances. Here's who I have, Mark. You'll tell me if this is what you got. The worst, with an opponent 500 on base percentage. Oh, Bryce Wilson, followed closely by Yusei Kikuchi's 487. Opponent on base percentage. Spencer Watkins, 462. Jake, 5. Glenn Otto Jr., 442. Believe he's on the hill tonight. Chris Bubich, 439. Believe he's on the hill. Chris Bubich. Mitch Keller, 432. And then Kyle Bradish and Freddie Peralta, maybe a surprising name, 429. Those guys have been awful first innings this year.
Kikuchi, Watkins, Otto, Bubich. That's how you say it, actually. No, it is.
Okay, I was just curious.
Correct pronunciation of that. I had to look it up the other day.
Bubich, yes.
Yeah. I don't know if he pronounces the last part just like I did. But
that's right. It might be Bubich, but what you're saying is it is a H at the end.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and so all those guys... I think that there's something to that too, Gil. I think that, you know, maybe you need a little larger sample size, you know, to look over the years and stuff. But I think that's a good way to attack it. I guess some guys just like, they just can't get warmed up and you know, that first inning is always worse. But again, on something like this, the larger the sample, the better.
Absolutely. And is this how I bet first innings or how Jason Weingarten bets first innings? The answer, quite frankly, is no. But it is an interesting thing to have for some. Let's go to the best. Who are the best in the first innings this year? Again, minimum 40 plate appearances against. Sonny Gray, number one, 186 against. Max Fried, 194 against. These names will sound familiar. Shane Bieber, 203 against first innings. Brandon Woodruff, 205 on base against. Shane McClanahan, AL Cy Young favorite, 206 against first innings. Jose Quintana, 210. Mania, 213. Quantrill, 217, and then Jeffrey Springs, Tyler Anderson, Aaron Nola, Joe Musgrove, Zach Gallen down the list. Justin Steele, Corbin Burns, Miles Michaelis. So there you go. I mean, like, some of those names are pretty understandable.
Yeah, but I think Quintana's interesting because yes. I thought he'd be out of the league by now, but he's kind of had a resurgence. Yeah. I have him better than average, actually, in my ratings, which is a big step for Jose Q. And so to see him there is quite surprising, but sometimes you got to tip your hat to a guy. He's been good this year, Gil.
How fun does it make you smile, or does it make you question your life that you and I have spent so much time that we still live with Martin Perez and Jose Quintana? Like, these guys have been part of our lives for longer than we would even want to admit. They're still around pitching. We were joking at the end of the, you know, we just, one of the funnier things that we joke about is random old athletes coming to games. Like when the Diamondbacks late in their, when they had to get the save last night, we needed a shutdown inning. We're like, is JJ Putz available? You know, is Heath Bell still pitching?
Oh, I remember JJ Putz. Yeah.
It's baseball players are funny, man. They have their heyday, and then sometimes, as we're seeing with, you brought up Dallas Keuchel earlier this morning, they just fall off a cliff, man. But that's baseball.
Yeah, you did it so well with Derek Lowe. I mean, that was just epic, an epic run betting against Derek Lowe when he was finishing off his career.
Oh man. Baseball.
You know, but personally, Gil, I smile because I love handicapping baseball. I love living kind of like your life is defined some way.
Yeah.
I think about Jose Quintana pitching, you know, for the Cubs. And I think, well, gosh, yeah. And maybe I'm going to start a movement here. I want to see you start handicapping baseball again, Gil. Gosh, I loved it when you handicapped baseball.
If I had the bandwidth, I probably would. But it's like, well, first of all, I was doing two shows for 2 years. There was no chance. Would I ever get back in? I don't think so. Like, I mean, we're doing this pentathlon again. Nice idea at VSiN to do like 5 games in 4 days. Compulsory, right? Total yesterday. Favorite and underdog today. What do we have? Run line tomorrow. Prop on Thursday to round it out. And it's just interesting to be forced into that immersion again for a week. And already after one day, I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about this shit. You know, like really quickly.
Narrowing. Yeah. The narrowing down process is grueling sometimes.
Oh.
So, like, you're trying to pick an underdog today. Like, that.
I still haven't played an underdog.
It takes
yet.
Like 20 yeah. minutes, 20, 30 minutes to kind of narrow it down. It's crazy.
No, that's a great. It's a said. That's 20 to 30 minutes alone if you're doing it right. Right? It's like,
yeah. You
got to think it. You got to think it through. Like, okay, well, yes. Oh, first of all, by the way, since we're doing a contest, that's an extra layer. Like, right, because you're incentivized to take even bigger dogs. Like, would I bet the Reds at this ridiculous price? You know, would I take a shot at the Diamondbacks against Logan Webb at this ridiculous price? No. Even though a contest strategy probably dictates that I should. But it's like, no, I can't do that. Then you have to go to the shorter dogs, right? And you're like trying to figure out, well, you know, the Reds are a nice little price against the Dodgers. Who have Mitch White. The Astros don't have Yordan, but do I trust the Angels? I mean, there's a whole bunch. It goes on forever, man. It goes on forever.
Yeah.
So.
And then you get the remorse if you have two. You narrow it down. You have two. You narrow it down to the one. And the one that you didn't play wins. And the one that you, that's brutal.
How many times has that happened in your baseball betting career? Good Lord. You know,
yep, exactly.
Hundreds. Mark,
yes.
I appreciate it, man. Let's do Q3 in a couple months. How about that?
Sounds great, Gil. My pleasure, as always.
Mark Borchert, before you go, at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com. Tell people where they can find all your stuff.
Yeah, guys, it's basewinner.com, and I send out an overnight chart with all of my good numbers, the key numbers for the components of each game. It goes out overnight, and then I'm also on a show, the BetUS MLB show. That's live at 9 Pacific time. So what's cool about that show is if you have a question on any game, just ask it in the chat room, and I'll answer it for you. So I really enjoy the question and answer part of that show personally.
It's a beautiful thing. Mark, we appreciate it, man, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, Gil. Thanks a lot.
The great Mark Borchert, everybody. It's Gil Alexander. Thanks so much for listening. Q2, MLB derivative show. Hope it informs some winning bets moving forward. Thanks for listening.
Check it out now.
will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.